name is Rebecca Munoz, and I'm going to be interviewing Mr. Chapa today. Well, I'd like to start with first asking your name.
Donaciano D. Chapa, 1115 Estela, Kingsville, Texas.
Okay. And where were you born, Mr. Chapa?
At the King Ranch in September 6, 1923. And I was born in a flower house.
In the
glass house where they grow, like a nursery, where they would grow plants and all that.
Like the greenhouse?
Greenhouse, right.
Wow.
I was born in there.
Uh-huh. And how many brothers and sisters do you have? Do you come from like a large family?
We had seven boys and one girl. All together we were eight in the family. Eight boys and one girl. Seven, mm-hmm. We were eight all together.
And can you tell me a little bit about your parents? And, you know, like you lived on the, did your parents live in the King Ranch? Did they come from the King Ranch? Or they were here born in South Texas? Or were they born?
My mother was born in Rio Grande. My father was from Monterrey. And they met at the King Ranch, where my mother and moved with her sister. The older sister got married to a man in the King Ranch, and then she moved with her over there, mm-hmm. because when their parents passed away, they were left those by themselves. So mm-hmm. When the older sister got married, she took her with her and lived in the King Ranch. Mm-hmm. And that's where they fell in love with my daddy, and they got married over there in the King Ranch.
And are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest of the boys.
I was born in September 6, 1923.
Wow. And your parents, can you tell me, did they have education or?
Well, not really. My mother was not educated. My daddy didn't know anything about him. He was he used to go out and take out all the goats, you know, and take them out to the field and bring them back. I don't know how they call that in English. And he took them out in the morning and the night bring them back.
Goats?
Goats, yeah. He was like
a keeper?
A keeper, yeah.
Make sure they got fed and things like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's what he used to do, but they weren't boys. They never got educated at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was working as a painter in the King Ranch. He was a painter.
And what about your mom? My
mother never worked. She just stayed in home with the family, that's all. But she never worked.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't educated either.
But during that time, women did work. They just, the majority of them, you saw them stay at home, or?
No, and during that time, most women didn't work in those times, in 1920s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And from the 40s up, I think that's where they started to work. But most of them didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were not educated either. They were not very school. They never sent them to school when they were young.
When they were younger?
Yes.
Well, times were hard also.
Yes.
When did you get called to go to war?
Okay, I started working at the King Ranch when I was about 12 years, driving mm-hmm. tractors, driving bulldozers and all that. And then I was working at the King Ranch until I had to get out of school. I only got to the fifth grade
mm-hmm.
because we were nine and eight in the family, and themselves were 10.
So, yeah.
And both times they were paying. He was getting $30 a month for a salary.
Who's your dad?
$30 a month for salary.
Uh-huh.
So he said, you're going to have to quit school and help me
mm-hmm.
because I cannot make it by myself. So I went to school when I was about 12 or 13 years old. And I started working in the tractors, bulldozers and tractors in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting $35 a month for that work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard, those times were hard. They used to give us $5 rations, and they used to call it $5 rations. like a flour, lard, and baking powder, and rice, beans, and all that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. The stuff that would amount to $5, and that's what the King Rangers to give us for the whole family. And but we didn't get very much money then. And then you didn't eat very much either, because at those times you could buy a chore for 25 cents, a pen for 50 or 60 cents. And you know, things were cheap then, not very many things were, or you could buy luxuries that you
No, didn't. Not like today, like the Guess jeans and Nike and everything, right? It's very different from back then.
Yeah.
And what about like jobs? Were they available to a lot of people? I guess they were, since you were talking about, you know, you being able to get a job at 12 years old.
Yes, well, in the farm, when you work on the farms, there's those times there were probably, there might have been jobs at town, but in the farms, everybody worked in the farms at those times, and nobody would go to town because we were living there. And when I was going to school, I was coming to Kingsville.
Mm-hmm.
I would walk over here, leave over there at 6 o'clock in the morning and walk to school. But most of the times I used to get a ride to school and, you know, to town, and then I walked to school the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And but I went only to the fifth grade. This is for the secondary school. And I had to quit that. And
what about the rest of your brothers? Did they get to go?
None of them went to school.
None of them went to school? So then all of them had to help your parents?
Not while we were in the Cambridge. They never went to school. I was the only one that came to school. And the rest of them didn't go to school.
And how long did you live over there in the Cambridge?
I got out when I was 19 and a half or 20 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, the ranch, the owners of the ranch, like the King Ranch, the owner were from the Congress. He was a congressman.
Mm-hmm. Too.
And they could hold their hands, their rubber hands, they could hold them from going to war at that time. As long as you were working for the ranch, mm-hmm. you would not go to war. But then my daddy quit working there in 1940, and then everybody left there, and I was the only one that stayed working for another year more. And in 1941, I got out too. And then when I got out, they dressed me into service
mm-hmm.
automatically, because I wasn't working for the farming, for the ranch anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to war in 1941, and I went overseas. I got wounded down there and near the Dartmouth, just across this side of the Rhine River. That's where the 7th Army got wiped out, and then I didn't even get to finish my training. I only trained for about 5 or 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and then they shipped us overseas.
What part of overseas did you go to?
European theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went to European theater, and while I was there, we helped the Englishmen in the Belgium. We were in Belgium helping the Englishmen. I was with the 75th Division, and Infantry Division. And then we helped the English, and then in Belgium, and then we went to Germany. They shipped us to Germany, and we went to war over there. Just across the river, and then they put us over there as the sentinels, guards, you know, they're guarding the river
mm-hmm.
on this side of the Rhine River, and the Germans were on the other side. And we stayed there for about 3 months. Two or three months, and then when they made the attack, we will go over the Rhine River. Then that's when I got wounded there in Dortmund. They shipped me back to France, to the hospital in France. And I was in this hospital for about 3-4 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the war ended.
Oh my goodness.
I was in the hospital in France when the war ended. So after that, I stayed there for about another year. Well, we were just working in there, the guards, you know, the guards. And after a year, they shipped me back to the States, and they gave me discharge. And they also gave me the pension because I was wounded. Disabled veteran. Now they got about 40% disability compensation for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Then I went to work. When I got out, I went to work at the base at Corpus. Because
mm-hmm.
at that time they were hiring veterans, and I went to work over there. Started working there, and I worked for, I think, about 1 or 2 years in Corpus, and then I got transferred to Kingsville here in the base over here in Kingsville.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked here 30 years. And I've been living here since then. When I got out, I've been living here in Kingsville.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I got out of the service, I mean, out of the invade of the civil service, when I retired, I started working for Truvella.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm here. I got 20 years working in there.
At Truvella?
20 years.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any friends that, like, were held prisoners over there during the war?
No.
No?
I know we liberated a lot of prisoners over there.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of them that walked, I was one of the first ones that walked in there. And there were a lot of Frenchmen and all kinds of nationalities in there.
Mm-hmm.
In the prison camp. We opened the gates from them up.
And did you feel like you were discriminated or like there was any discrimination between anyone?
Well, not at that time.
No?
Not during the war. No, we were doing the duty.
And so was doing their duty.
That's it.
And were you in the combat zone when you were there at war?
It was 1941, and I stayed there till 1943. I think I got out in 1940. I was overseas about 19 or 20 months over there, almost 2 years. Then I got shipped back to the state
mm-hmm.
after the war ended.
Yeah.
I was lucky.
you sure are. And are you glad you served in the military?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's good. And how did your parents feel when you went to war?
Well, my mother, when I left, she was crying. And then they notified, when I got wounded, they notified them that I had gotten wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I was over there, I don't know how they felt in, but I'm pretty sure she was crying all the time throughout the day.
And were you married at the time?
No.
Because how old were you when you went? Like 20, something like that?
I was 20 years.
So you weren't married then, right?
I got married when I got out of the Army in 1948. I got married.
So you were back in Kingsville already then?
Yeah, we were here there already here.
Yeah.
We had two daughters, and that was it, no more family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard. At those times, everything was hard.
Yeah.
Those years.
I'm sure.
Everything was rational. Nobody could get any sugar. They couldn't get sugar or food or anything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you only had certain days where you could get sugar, or food at all, any food at all.
Mm-hmm. So then you never went back to school when you came back? You didn't take the advantage of the GI Bill?
Yes, indeed. I went when I got out of the service, I was still single.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to GI school. And I started in the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up to the 12th grade in high school.
Good.
I got out then. Mm-hmm. Already having more grades up from 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I was self-completing automatically. I graduated from there.
That's good.
But they didn't give us, at those times they didn't give us a diploma because we were going under the GI Bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went over there and started to finish the school.
Well, that's good. At least you know you finished school.
Hey.
Yes. I heard also that you got a Purple Heart.
Yes, when I got one. I got one when I got, I got one when I was in the hospital, and then when I got back to my office, when I got out of the hospital, when I got back to the company where I was, then the captain gave me another Purple Heart, and when I got out of discharge, about 6 or 7 months after I got discharged, they sent me another one. I got three of them.
So you have three of them?
Three of them, yeah.
Wow.
They probably made a mistake. I don't know how they made that mistake. Normally, uh-huh. They just give you one, that's it.
Right. Wow.
And in my case, they gave it pure gold, heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's pure, I got three of them.
Wow. That's good. And how was it like afterwards, like after the war, like coming back over here? Was time still hard, like before you went?
No, when
was the economy better when you came back?
When I got back, I found a job at the base, and it's just, I've been working there for 20 years at the base. I never worked as a labor outside in the warehouse. Just work at the base,
mm-hmm.
with the government. And now that I'm working at the Trubay, 20 years, quite a while.
Yeah, I know that. Okay, is there anything else that you'd like to add about the war, your experience, or anything else that you'd like to add that we may not have talked about?
Well, I had a friend of mine from from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And we were always together, you know, one time we were very hungry, and then I said, we saw a chicken, a rooster,
mm-hmm.
a young rooster, and so we started chasing him until we, and then the German artillery was shooting at us, because they saw us running over here with the field glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shooting with the artillery, but we were just running around, trying to catch the chicken, and finally we got it. When we got in with the chicken, and again the sergeant said, "You crazy, what are you trying to do, get yourself killed?" And why? And the artillery was falling all around you, you never quit chasing the chicken.
Uh-huh.
We were hungry.
Uh-huh.
That night we cooked it, we had. We had soup, chicken soup and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
And then when we both got one at the same time, and I never saw him again because his legs were gone. I was lucky. I just got hit in the back, in the shoulder, over here in the back, mm-hmm. by the waist, close to the waist, and then one over here on the leg. Piece of shrapnel. And even getting, but he lost both legs, and they shipped him back to the States. I never saw him again.
Oh.
His name was Peter Bina.
Bina?
Bina. Peter Bina. From over. And I never got to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
That was an experience. And then, you know, I think back now, I said, I could never go through to where I went again. Never.
No, because you were a lot younger then, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it'd be difficult now to do that.
Yeah, it was fun. saw a lot of people get killed. Sorry.
You saw a lot of people get killed?
Oh, yes. All bodies, you know, all the company, from the company. Their tears, or their children, they do when you're going forward. Which were children too, but still they were children, you know, artillery and machine guns.
Why were you scared?
Everybody's scared. You said, the captain used to say, I'm scared myself. Don't think you're the only one that's scared. Everybody's scared. He said, everybody. Yeah, we have to go. So we just want to keep going forward and forward and forward.
There must have been some experience.
Oh, yeah.
Some experience.
And that's about it, because now that I've been working in so many, all I do is just help the customers in there. I used to help them unload the trailers with the merchandise. I don't do it anymore, because when I got sick from my heart, and the doctor said, well, I wasn't supposed to pick up more than 50 pounds. And I told him, they said, well, you don't have to pick that. You don't help them unload it. You stay on the floor and work on the floor, help your customer. Okay, that's all. And that's what I do now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you very much for having this interview with me.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.